Moncrief on News Talk.
Do you ever notice this when you've lost something? That the longer you look for it, the stranger the places get that you're looking. You look at the strangest goddamn places after a while. You have to. Why? You've already looked in the easy places. Those are the first places we look, the obvious places. People say to each other, well, I've looked everywhere. Well, apparently not.
That was the great George Carlin there speaking about losing things. Speaking of losing things, two people to whom the nation have lost their hearts are Barbara Scully and Declan Buckley. Good afternoon.
That was a good pivot.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very good.
Laid on the cheese for that one.
I really thought you were going to say.
Do you mean you don't mean us?
What?
Do you mean you don't mean us?
Of course, I don't mean anything. I work in the media. Everything.
I thought you were referring to the fact that we're about to lose our tempers. We're like losing our minds.
Right, here's the first question. I'm a 28-year-old single woman. I have a healthy sex drive and I genuinely enjoy sex. At the same time, I'm not interested in casual flings or sleeping around. What I really want is a meaningful relationship with someone I actually connect with. It's quite rare for me to meet a man I genuinely like, but when I do, the chemistry tends to be strong. And I find it almost impossible not to sleep with them on the first date. It feels natural and right in the moment, but afterwards, I often worry I've sabotaged any chance of something more serious developing. I've slept with two men since I broke up with my ex about 4 years ago. I'd hate to think I'm being dismissed as not relationship material for something that feels very right at the time. Do I need to play the game and not act on how I feel on the night? I don't want to keep ending up in situations where things fizzle out before they even begin. I have a feeling that Barbara and Declan will say, no, men don't care and it doesn't matter. But I would really like to know what your listeners think. Am I overthinking this, or do men judge women for sleeping with them on a first date?
I love that.
Wait, Barbara, stop talking. We have to wait for the listeners to get in.
Answer,
on the
text
machine. This is not about us.
One came in already. There are men who proclaim they wouldn't go out with a woman who had sex on the first date. In my opinion, as a man, these are the sort of men you're better off not going out with. So keep going as you are. The funny thing about these type of men mentioned above is that they will be the ones pushing for sex on the first date. I don't mean any coercive or assaultive-like way. I also don't mean that if a man wants sex on the first date, that he definitely thinks this way. Right.
How did he do that quickly?
I don't know.
That's impressive texting.
I did mention it at the start of the show, so that's probably
okay,
probably why.
She
broke up with her ex 4 years ago and she slept with two men, so she's hardly cutting an erotic sway through the country, really.
No.
Yeah.
Barbara.
What?
What do you think? Tell us.
Yeah, go on.
I'm going to tell her whether she wants it or not.
Let's see how wrong you are.
I like the honesty in this, not just by saying she's not really interested in what we have to say, but also in the fact that she's honest about the fact that she has, you know, what she considers to be a healthy sex drive. She enjoys sex. She likes sex. And if she meets somebody, she said, and if the chemistry is strong, it's almost impossible not to sleep with them. So, yeah, that's good that she knows all of that and she's being honest about that. But there is a kind of, I think, a slight contradiction in there, because how can you decide whether you really like somebody in the space of a couple of hours? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
I
think it's not so much perhaps an issue of, like the texter fella said, it's not so much an issue of men judging, you know, the fact that she's going to sleep with them on the first date as being a negative thing and, you know, something that puts them off. I think more is maybe she's not choosing the right guys. If she's just going on the chemistry and on the physical kind of like, I'm really attracted, that doesn't mean he's actually going to be a nice guy. And that could be why the relationships don't take off, that there is no relationship afterwards, that everything just fizzles out because she's back in the wrong horse in the first place.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What's that face mean?
I know there was also a noise. I went,
All right. Yeah. I haven't heard that before.
It's a footnote.
Okay. Well, let me just finish my thought.
Yeah, for those who know.
But I think she needs to. I mean, I get the fact, but if the chemistry is there, it'll still be there on the second date and on the third date, and she might get to know the person a little bit better.
Yeah.
And I think so. I think that might be the way to go. And the other thing, just to say it as a postscript, is that, like, no matter what women do, they get judged. Do you know what I mean? Whether you're going to sleep in the first date or you're not going to sleep in the first date, you know, how you present yourself, how you look, we get judged all the time for everything. So that's just part of life. I don't like it. But
and isn't that part of the problem? It's about whether you choose to subscribe to a system that kind of embeds those rules. And, you know, at the moment, we seem to be having a kind of a like a resurgence of the kind of the trad wife, the manosphere type mentality where the guys are allowed to do whatever they like, including giving mixed messages, including thinking it's all right if they push for a sex on the first or the date. But if the woman kind of succumbs, then it's a slur, a judgment on her and all that kind of stuff. Like, so it is a minefield for young women who have been told on one side that they have equality and on the other side the game is actually just this kind of weird game of purity and judgment and all that
kind of stuff. Double standards.
It's double standards. But the point is that, you know, unless we all kind of seem to agree on what the rules of the game are, you're always going to, you know, second guess yourself and you're going to end up playing a game, the most conservative version of the game. And the most conservative version of the game is unfortunately the version of the game that I think hurts women the most, because, and earlier on you were talking about the backing of the horses, you know,
yes,
when you're looking for the ride.
There's a
sexual attraction is a kind of a chemical thing. It happens in your mind. You know, you don't know or who or why you're going to be attracted to.
Yeah.
And it's an impulse and all that kind of stuff. Wheeling back the kind of animalistic tendencies there is a kind of a rational process that happens because you're playing a longer game. So in doing that, she's kind of answered her own question, because the reality of it is if she just wants to, you know, give in to her deeper impulses, then, you know, sleep with who you feel like and then, you know, don't.
Yeah.
If it was a same sex couple, the kind of the gender based judgment thing wouldn't
exist.
But you still might have the scenario of, oh, he didn't call me the next day or whatever. So that's another thing to think about. It isn't only about whether or not you put out. It's also about the fact of whether or not there's just these people who all they want to do is move from one person to the next.
She has said in the first paragraph, like, I want a meaningful relationship with somebody I can connect with. So she is actually looking for a relationship.
Yeah.
She's not just looking for good sex.
Correct.
So I think
it's a bit naive to think that there are only two kinds of men. The kind of men who are looking for a relationship and the kind of men who are not.
Yeah, but
often the kind of men who will get into a relationship might also play the game and have one night stands and do stuff like that. Yeah. I think it's very naive to pretend that they're good men who
that. I mean, I'm kind of ignoring all of that and kind of going, maybe the reason that a relationship doesn't flourish out of the fact that they have slept together is the fact that, like, he's not for you anyway. But she doesn't know that because she's not spent any time to get to know them.
So are you saying then that she hasn't made any kind of tactical mistakes?
If she's looking for a relationship, I think she should hang fire for a bit.
Shouldn't sex be a mutual thing? Or two people decide to have sex with each other rather than being held up as some sort of prize that your man will get if he shows up his bank balance
and it's kind of like, oh, I never, you know, all these rules that, you know, people have.
That's fine, except she's looking for a relationship. She's not just looking for a hookup.
Sure.
So she's looking for a relationship. So what I'm saying is, if you're looking for a relationship as opposed to, I have no problem with you, you know, wanting to have sex with somebody you find really attractive on the first date, that's absolutely fine. But if you're looking for a relationship, maybe it's better to get to know the person a little bit better, because she's clearly frustrated about these situations that, as she says, fizzle out before they begin. So if she wants to change that, maybe just hope. It's nothing to do with how you're being judged. It's about, I do think that in this case, she's looking to connect with somebody, not just on a physical level.
Sure.
And I think
they might have a bit of an old conversation afterwards, you know, when you're in that kind of thing.
It feels to me then that there's a disconnect between what the intimacy of sex means to this person and how they're approached. If it's a kind of a wang bang, you know, like you're watching some series on Netflix where they have to get through it in 20 seconds because they're going to an ad break, you know, that's not really how it should be, you know, and it's not. But there's also, you know, when we've discussed on this slot a lot of times, that there's you know, a kind of a weirdness around sex, and that sometimes the most passionate sex is almost a sex with a stranger.
Yeah.
And then the, as you get to know somebody, the intimacy shifts.
Yeah.
And I don't personally think that shifting the intimacy into that phase from the beginning is in anybody's best interest.
But I think she's trying to get to a relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
then I think she should just slow down a little bit, get to know the person.
I think it's
she's
not
back
about
in the
sex.
Wrong horses. That's what I'm saying.
No, I don't agree with
you. We're talking too long now. She's probably stopped listening.
Well, no, there is a few comments on this. Get what you can while you can. Sure, the world could end tomorrow. That's, I suppose.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah. Ain't that the truth?
Oh, Mom.
A fair few people asking for her number. I'd say fair play to her. She has nothing to feel guilty about.
Right.
I don't think she's feeling guilty.
Men do not negatively judge women who sleep with them on the first date, in my opinion. It says that she knows what she wants and she doesn't bend to old, outdated social mores. I commend women who think like this, like my wife of 15 years who slept with me on our first date, says David. I had sex with my husband on our first date. He was absolutely shocked, but he got over it and under me fairly fast. Over 25 years later, and he still jokes that I scared him a little and he was afraid he wouldn't be able to perform. I also had sex with others and things didn't work out. But if he had bugger all to do with having sex, when you meet the right one, it'll just work.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, I agree with that 100%.
And someone else says, the men should make most of the sex in the first date. She will stop having sex with them once they're married. chemistry and connection are not the same thing.
Yeah.
Chemistry is getting into bed with men before she knows or whether they have a lasting connection. She's simply dating the wrong guys.
That's what I think.
Your point exactly. And Alison says, my dad used to say to me when going out, hold on to your bone and the dog will follow. Beautiful. Wow, your dad, you must have sat around listening to his pearls of wisdom by
that's
the fire.
Brilliant.
That is so so
that's
poetically
brilliant.
Put
it's very
as well.
Poetic. Yeah, I love it, yeah.
About a year and a half ago, two of my closest friends and I, who have all been part of the same tight-knit group for years, started talking seriously about having babies. We're all married, similar ages, and at the time it felt like such an exciting idea to go through it all together. We joked about being pregnant, excuse me, at the same time, raising our children side by side and supporting each other through it all. I went ahead and got pregnant. Now I have a beautiful 6-month-old baby girl who I truly love. But not long after I became pregnant, both of my friends quietly decided to stop trying. There wasn't really a big conversation about it. They just said the timing didn't feel right anymore. Now, excuse me, now they're back to their old routines, booking holidays and going on girls' trips, often with other single friends. I see the photos of nights out, beach days and spontaneous plans, and I can't help but feel like I've been left behind. My life has changed completely while theirs hasn't. I find myself feeling resentful, and I'm honest, a bit foolish. Is it normal to feel this way?
Off you go, Tech.
Well, yes, it is normal to feel this way, I think, but I think there's a lot going on in this letter because obviously, this woman feels that there has been a big change in her life that isn't the same changes that's happening to her friends because they're no longer kind of in the same step in terms of their lives. I feel that it is normal to kind of miss the life that you used to have, particularly when you see your pals kind of doing their holidays and all that kind of stuff. However, I also think that regardless of whether or not, and this is the bit that I'm a bit unsure about, does she feel like her friends tricked her into like, you know, that part sounds a bit odd to me that they all sat down to have a meeting about having babies and then the others decided to not have the baby, but she went ahead and did it and it's their fault somehow when in fact, actually, that you just haven't, you had a baby, big decision, change your life, yes. Their lives could have changed relative to yours anyway. And in fact, as you get older and older and older, you notice that your friends' lives fall into different patterns in lots of different ways. Maybe you don't have a house at the same time. Maybe your type of job changes and you've got a much more demanding role. Maybe there is other responsibilities that come your way. For me personally, I've got elder parents at the moment and that's kind of taking me away from social activities with my friends. Do I feel bitter? Not always. But
not always, no.
My parents are deaf. They can't hear this. Yeah. but it is terrible. That thing. It is. They can't hear that either. Yeah. But the thing about it is that it's that bit of like, you know, faraway hills are always greener. And that's less to do with what your friends are doing. And it's more to do with what you're going through yourself. It's a big change. And I don't know. I don't understand the problem because it's a bit too much like somebody else's
You've been very gentle, I think. You've been very gentle. I
think you know why. I'm withheld.
Kind of annoyed. Yeah. I was like, is this woman saying that she only had a baby so that she could share the experience with her
friends.
Best mates?
Yeah, it's weird.
You know, so they could all be mummies together and they could all bring up their kids together and it would all be great. They'd all be doing it together. Because that's not the reason to have a baby, like by a long way. It's not even the reason to get a dog, do you know, so we can all have a dog together and, you know, go for walks together and it'll be great. You get a dog because you want a dog. You have a baby because that's what you think you want in your life, because it's a big, huge, long commitment. So, I mean, I don't know what to make of the letter. Like, I presume she said she has a beautiful baby, and I presume that's making her very happy.
So, I want to stop there for a second and ask you, are you saying that she's like the choice to have a baby?
It's got nothing to do with your mates.
Well, no, it doesn't. In this instance, I think it's about a picture of the kind of life you have. Some people have a baby and they never plan to have the baby at all. This woman, you know what I mean? And that's, is that a judgment? I don't think it's a judgment on somebody if that's what happened to their life. It's a little bit naive for her to think that life is going to plan out the way you expect it. That's all I was trying to say.
But also, I think she feels... I accept that, absolutely. But I think she feels that she's been duped by her friends in some way.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, oh, we all said we were going to do it and I didn't, and then you didn't.
If you jumped into the river, would you all jump into the river?
Exactly. But I mean, you know, that's okay if they'd all sat down and said, you know what, let's all go and climb Mount Everest. And she went and booked the flights and bought the gear and everything. And then they said, oh, no, we were only messing. We're not going at all. I mean, then she would have a case to feel a bit. But not when it comes to having a baby. You don't do that. And I mean, the other thing is that even if they all had said, as she said, they did say, we'll all have a baby together and, you know, the babies will grow up together and we'll all mother together and all the rest of it. One or more of her friends could have difficulty in conceiving a baby.
Absolutely.
So, like, it is the most ridiculous premise on which to decide to embark on an adventure together. The only person, you know, that you should be embarking on an adventure with is the other person who's helping you make the baby, if possible.
That was the thing. Like, three women decide, we'll have babies.
Yeah.
Oh, I decided with the girl. Sorry, Tom, but, you know, that's what's happening now. Your life is changing. Irrevocably.
I just thought the woman needs to grow up a little bit.
There tends to be a kind of a pattern that people, until the baby stage in your average, very average life, it's kind of, we went to school, maybe we went to college, we get into a relationship, we might even move in, we get engaged, we get married, and everything is kind of in step with your friends and you're all kind of doing it around
the
same time.
But as you just said a minute ago, it doesn't always work out like that. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? You might find that your friends all get married way before you do.
Isn't she blessed that she's managed? Her bingo card is working out so well for her so far.
But she should stop looking at the mates and then being away. And you know, if she wants to console herself, she, unless she has loads more babies, she'll be out the other end way before they will, and she'll be able to do all of this again. Do you know? So, like, that's life. But she needs to grow up a little bit, I think.
Yeah, a lot of people having not much sympathy for her. There's somebody sexing to say maybe she has postnatal depression.
I did think about that, which is kind of the reason why I wasn't kind of latching into her.
But if she does that, she should talk to somebody for sure.
Yeah.
Somebody more qualified than us, like.
I'm writing about someone I've known my entire life who grew up together and I care about her deeply. But over the past few years, I've become increasingly worried about how she treats her husband, also the father of their young child. What I'm saying doesn't sit right with me. She constantly belittles him, dismisses his opinions. She can be very cutting and controlling in the way she speaks to him, especially in front of others. It's not just the odd argument. It feels like a pattern of behaviour that's wearing him down. He's become much quieter and withdrawn, and I can't help but feel he's walking on eggshells around her. What really troubles me is that if a man behaved like this towards a woman, people would be appalled, and rightly so. But because it's the other way around, it seems to be brushed off or even joked about. She doesn't seem to recognise her behaviour at all. If anything, she frames everything as his fault or laughs it off. I'm also worried about the impact this dynamic could have on their child growing up in that environment. She's my friend, and I don't want to lose her, but I also feel that I can't stand by and say nothing anymore. Is it my place to step in? And if so, how do I even begin to have that conversation without making things worse?
God, we've often said, like in with various problems on this slot, that, you know, none of us really ever know what's going on inside somebody else's relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've often said, like, so for that reason, it's very often better to keep your nose out of it, unless you're worried about somebody's safety or their mental health. And I think that might fall into this category. If the woman is thinking that the man is, you know, his mental health will take a toll. And also then there's the child in it as well. You know, and I mean, these women are friends, and they've been friends for, she said, their entire lives. One of the great things about good friendships, and especially friendships that last decades, is that they are the people who generally will be able to tell you honestly something you need to hear. Yeah. You know, so I think she is, she definitely should have a quiet word with her friend. I mean, making a holy show of her partner isn't cool. And as I say, the fact that there's a child in this as well is not good. One thing I would say is, if you are going to have a quiet word with the friend, you know, with love and respect, and just saying, look, you know, I'm a little uncomfortable, like, you know, about this, make sure that you have solid examples, because the comeback will probably be, oh, I'm only messing. Oh, he's used to it. He knows what I'm like. He knows I'm not serious. It's fine. Yeah. So make sure you have solid examples of, no, last week down in the pub, you said this. And, you know, I thought that was a bit mean, and I could see his face and whatever else like that. So make sure you have a few solid examples. But I definitely think this is a case where you should definitely have a quiet word. I think you're entitled to. You've been friends for that long. She'll know, you know, that your agenda is purely one of caring about what's going on.
Yeah. Agree completely. I think that there's an interesting kind of grey area where we kind of look at a problem and we go, is it something that I can stick my head into and say something? And I think in this one, it like you say, it all revolves around the friendship between you and the person, because whatever about it being something that's happening to strangers, this is allegedly one of your close friends.
Yeah.
And part of friendship is actually sometimes calling them out for the ways in which they kind of do stupid things.
Yeah.
That in this case, it's potentially directed at the husband, but in the long run, it's actually kind of damaging her as well. And as the kid and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I would definitely kind of go, listen, I don't know whether you realise, but it comes across really badly.
Yeah.
In front of the others. And it doesn't have to be your own opinion.
No.
I thought that he looked sad when you said. It can be like, I just want to let you know that X, Y, and Z stranger said something to me about, you know, that kind of way where you deflect it and make it feel like it's bubbling over, the saucepan is flowing over into other people's lives, and it's her reputation on the line, because that's where I think it might register.
And the other thing to be aware of, I think, as well, is that if you get into the habit of acting like that in a relationship, she mightn't even realise how nasty it's coming across. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Because it's just become a habit now. It's just the way she operates when she's talking to or about her husband. So, you know, she may not even realize it, and hopefully she doesn't, and hopefully once the friend has a word, she will kind of go, okay, fair, I'll
because there's always the chance that if she does say it to her friend, and then the friend takes the information like, you know, seriously, and then turns to her husband, the husband might, in a kind of a act of, you know, trouble avoidance, go, ah, no, I'm grand.
You
know, so that's also something that she needs to back into her plan.
But
that even if Tom, or whoever his name is
getting bald,
doesn't say that he has a problem with this, I'm telling you what somebody else thinks about you.
That's what I think. I think that's a really good point. And I think that would be the one that would drive home. You're not doing yourself any
and
favors.
It doesn't matter whether he's used to it. Yeah, that's
people
what I think.
Don't
would be
like the fact that you're belittling your husband.
That might just drive the behavior underground, in the sense that she'll be good in public, but when she gets him home.
Yeah, well.
And if she goes home and says, Mary says everyone thinks I bully you, do I? You know, oh no, love, you know, backing away.
Yeah.
So, you know, she might adjust things on the outside. Because this is like, as the woman said, if it was a man doing this, we'd be saying coercive control. Red flags all over
the
gap.
Call this henpecked, didn't we?
Yeah.
But really, and like in that other problem we had earlier on, if we are truly going to have a perspective of equality across the sexes, it has to apply to this kind of
stuff.
It does.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I mean, to answer your point, I think that if it drives it underground, and if the friend suspects that really nothing has changed, then it's time to have a chat with the husband.
Yeah.
And kind of say to him, listen, this, you know, you don't have to put up with this, and you don't need to put up with this. And I did have a word with her before about it, and you know, and just checking in with the husband, and you know, or maybe through the through a friend of the husband's.
The example she gave has, don't tell us this, how serious it is, because
yes,
it be,
yes,
like if it's actually kind of aggressive or if it's violent. If it's kind of just, if it's just diminishing,
I think it's undermining, maybe, yeah.
Which is,
but that can be, that can be very damaging over years. Do you
yeah,
know?
Well, could she maybe talk to the husband first if she'd known well enough?
No, I would talk to the friend first. I would think talk to the friend first. If she suspects anything, then maybe, yeah, I would then try to maybe talk to a friend of the husband's to talk to him rather than. No,
I don't know about that. I think
would the husband not be, again going back to the kind of old fashioned idea, would the husband potentially be a bit mortified that his wife's best friend is coming to him feeling sorry for him and kind of going,
yeah, maybe, yeah,
you know, would it be
but
easier?
It doesn't
if,
have to be presented in a
no, but that would be the interpretation
way, yeah, you know, it's a bit like,
wow, it's a very yeah. difficult
it
one.
Could be that, you know, I just want to let you know that I'm having a word with X about this because somebody said something to me, and I know you're probably okay with the budding cases. I know, see, I don't know. The way that you approach all these things is really important.
Yeah, it's delicate.
But I think the fact that there's a child growing up in that as well is not healthy. You know, whether the child is a boy or a girl, it's not healthy to see one parent undermining another like that, you know, and not treating the other with... I mean, we can all have rows and be annoyed with our partners, but not having a baseline of respect for each other is not a good way to... not a good environment for children to be in.
Someone says, as a Brazilian man living in Ireland for over 20 years, I find it appalling the way Irish women speak to the husbands and boyfriends.
No. Really?
Having been in that tight... Stop interrupting
me, Barbara. Sorry. Get back in my box here. Yeah, sorry. Let me know when it's my turn to speak.
Yes. Two more serious ones. Having been in that type of relationship, it took someone calling it out in front of my wife to wake me up. It was extremely controlling for me. I'm no longer in that situation. Someone else says, my brother was in a marriage where he was bullied and she did have control. Fair play to the friend. But if the wife is a bully, talk to the hubby.
Okay, yeah. Right. Yeah. So it's kind of like, and you know, we all have friends that we know. Some of them are a bit more in the kind of, let's call them
careful,
forthcoming.
Okay.
Kind of, they're a bit more assertive. And maybe if there's bully tendencies in there, Barbara, that you know to talk to the husband. Can I have your husband's phone number?
Yeah. Barbara and Declan, thank you both very much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.